Cold as the Grave by Peter Robinson. Read by Neil Pearson.
Mummy, Mummy, come here!
Rosalind carried on stuffing the wild mushroom, garlic and parsley mixture between the skin and flesh of the chicken, the way she'd learned in her course on French cuisine.
Mummy's busy, she shouted back. Daddy has an important dinner tonight. But Mummy, it's our lass!
Where on earth did he learn such common language? They forked out a fortune to send him to the best school Yorkshire had to offer, and still he ended up sounding like some vulgar tyke.
It's our lass, and she's got no clothes on.
Rosalind put aside her knife. What on earth could Benjamin be talking about? He was only 8 and had a very active imagination.
Hurry, Mummy!
Rosalind felt the slightest tingle of apprehension, as if something were about to change forever in her universe. She wiped her hands, took a quick sip of gin and tonic, then walked to the study where Benjamin had been playing on the computer. As she did so, she heard the front door open. Her husband was home.
Look!
The boy pointed at the computer screen.
It is our lass!
Don't talk like that, it's common. Then she looked. And he was right. She was looking at her daughter, Emily, naked, with a tattoo and a wispy patch of blonde pubic hair between her legs. What was this? What was happening? Then Rosalind panicked. He mustn't see this. It would destroy him. Quickly she reached towards the mouse, but a voice behind her told her it was too late.
What's going on?
He put a hand on his son's shoulder. Then Rosalind heard the sharp intake of breath. My God! Chief Constable Jeremiah Riddle pointed at the screen. Is that who I think it is? Detective Chief Inspector Alan Banks paused over his holdall. Leather jacket or wind cheater? He wasn't sure how cold it would be. You never could tell with November. And in the end, he decided he'd take both. Tomorrow he was taking the Eurostar to Paris with his daughter Tracy for a long weekend of galleries, museums, dinners in small left-bank restaurants, and idle beers at zinc-topped counters in Montmartre. All he had to do now was choose a few tapes. He picked out the ones he'd made of his Cassandra Wilson, Dawn Upshaw and Lucinda Williams CDs and slipped them in the side pouch along with the Walkman. When he'd finished packing, Banks poured himself a couple of fingers of Laphroaig, put on Bill Evans' Waltz for Debbie, and sat in his armchair. He could hear the wind howling round the thick walls of his cottage, rattling the windows and spattering the panes with rain. Glad he didn't have to go out again that evening, his mind drifted to the problem that had been looming larger and larger since his last case. Riddle was even more pissed off at him than ever, and his days in Yorkshire seemed numbered. So last week he'd put in his application to the National Crime Squad, which was designed to target organised crime. He didn't have a degree, but he did have experience, and that might count for something. And over the past couple of months, too, he'd thought a lot about his estranged wife. He'd come to believe that there was a real chance to put the silliness of the past year behind them. He'd had his brief romance with Annie Cabot, and Sandra hers with Sean. But a posting to the NCS would mean moving back to London. Sandra loved London, and Banks was certain she'd see things differently now. When the phone rang at 9 o'clock, Banks thought it might be Tracy. But it wasn't. It was Jimmy Riddle.
Banks?
Sir?
I'd like to ask you a favour. Would you mind dropping by the house? It's very important. I wouldn't ask otherwise.
What was going on here? Riddle had never spoken to him in such a polite manner before.
Well, it's late, sir. Please, Banks, I need your help. There's something I need to talk to you about, something urgent.
Riddle lived about halfway between Eastvale and Northallerton, which meant over an hour's drive. Banks' windscreen wipers worked overtime the whole way. The Riddle house, called the Old Mill, was a listed building, built originally by Cistercian monks. The mill race came rushing down through the garden, and the stone barn on the other side had been converted into a garage.